The next coach on the teleconference is Ohio State's Urban Meyer. The Buckeyes are 1-0 overall and host Tulsa at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. Would you like to make an opening statement or go straight to questions?
Straight to questions. Thanks.
We'll take questions at this time.
To ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions after 2 pops, the coach will be allowed to leave the call. And your first question comes from Ken Rota, WHDC Radio.
Urban, personnel and performance-wise, what was the biggest question you received an answer to on Saturday versus Bowling Green?
Oh, probably the offensive skill, you know, that there's so many new names out there and how they would perform, and I thought they did very well. That's receivers and tailback.
And besides another win, what answers do you hope to get this weekend against Tulsa that maybe you didn't get in that BG game?
The offensive line only had one guy graded champion effort, and the receivers had a lot of guys play, but only one or two made the champion, and that's how we evaluate if you're playing to our standards. So I thought last week, got some stability, got some first times out of the way, and now it's time to improve as a player.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Ari Wasserman, Cleveland.com.
Hey, Urban. Speaking of offensive skill, the week leading into the opener, you guys inadvertently left K.J. Hill's name off the 2-deep. Then he goes on to score you guys' first touchdown of the season, and I believe he was the receiver or one of the receivers who was named a champion this week. Can you speak on just his development, his growth? And is he somebody that you think is going to be involved in a big way long-term on this team this year?
Yeah, KJ last year, we almost pulled his red shirt and probably should have, just to get him some experience. But he's a guy that his only issue is consistency right now, and we're getting more and more involved in special teams as well. So he's just I don't want to say typical, but he's a guy that works his tail off, has gotten showed marked improvement. And there was no intent last week when I didn't even really look at that chart. But he's certainly in the rotation.
When you talk about consistency and stuff, but to see him be a champion, how important is it for a young kid like that to make a play and do what he did in that opener? And how hard is it going to be? I know you guys want to rotate receivers this year, but how hard is it going to be for any single receiver to stand out from the pack this year?
Oh, it's not that hard. I mean, if he didn't make the, it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world out there. If he does not make that play when he has the opportunity, there's someone else behind him that wants to go make it. So it's very competitive. Very pleased that he did make that play. It was a well-thrown ball, but that's, I believe that was his first catch. His, a deep ball touchdown in the stadium. Those are not easy ones to pull down sometimes. So very pleased with him, but it's going to be so competitive this year, and that's what good programs have, competition and position, and that forces players to grow and improve and be consistent or they don't play.
Thanks, Urban.
Your next question comes from line of Bill Rabinowitz with the Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, Urban. You talked on Saturday about Malik Hooker and said, I'm assuming with some hyperbole, that he tried to quit 7 times. I mean, just what was that process like? How close did he really come to leaving?
Normally, I would say probably 95 to 99% of every freshman at some point will go through, I want to leave, because they're not used to this 24/7 mentality and the practice tempos and those type of things. And then all of a sudden you find yourself third string or fourth string on depth charts. So most go through it. The issues are when you have people at home that allow that to happen and not say, I don't want to quote his mother, but shut your mouth and go back to work because you're not welcome home. Same thing my father said to me when I was 17 years old. And so those are the ones that usually have very happy endings. It's the ones that, where there's that person at home that's not understanding of the big picture and causes the issues. Because that's why they're young people. Young people need support. Young people need guidance. And that's where I'm so appreciative of people like Malik's mother that said, I don't know what you're talking about. You're not coming home, so you might as well stick it out.
And just how talented is he?
Oh, he's a freakish ability. We actually recruited him because of his basketball athleticism. Coach Fickell loved him, and he was a good football player, but he didn't have as much tape, and we went and watched him play, and I think he had 35 points tonight. I went and watched him play basketball, and, yeah, he's a freakish athlete that has really got good football skill too. Great, great person.
Thanks, Urban.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Lauren Schutte, Cox Media Group.
Hey, Coach. There were a couple of teams opening weekend that rotated quarterbacks. Texas rotated 2. Auburn actually rotated at 1.5. You're one of the coaches in recent history that stands out that's been successful rotating quarterbacks, and I was just wondering how you managed to have so much success at Florida with that.
They were two different skill sets. They were two people from very strong families that didn't complain and whine and cause internal issues. That's a very, you know, obviously it's the one position that everybody in the stadium knows who it is. And usually they're highly recruited guys. I had Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, two of the most selfless guys I've ever been around, and put team ahead of self, and they understood why we were doing it. It was very transparent what we were doing. I think it was a little bit like Coach Strong did down at Texas when I didn't watch the whole thing, but from what I saw the other guy, because Tim was more of the curveball power player like their big guy is, Swoops, I think his name is down there. But I thought they did a really good job utilizing both. And I know one thing, the defenses are hard to zero in on guy when you have to defend really a single wing offense like they were doing with him, and then also a very athletic dropback guy like the freshman they had.
Right. How much do you think it's, you know, bigger risk for a bigger reward potentially?
Well, it depends on the two you have. You know, I actually love having more than one quarterback. I know people say, well, you know, it causes problems. I like to have three, to be honest with you. So I don't see the problems like everyone else maybe does. You know, I certainly see where the one quarterback gets, like JT right now is playing at a very high level because he practiced so hard, but we just want to make sure we have a number two ready to go as well.
Right. So you have no doubt that it can work with the right personnel?
Oh, of course. Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much, Coach.
Your next question comes from Lori Schmidt, 97.1 The Fan.
Coach, I just wanted to check and see how Sean Nuremberger's groin injury is healing. And when he comes back, is he chasing Tyler Durbin for the kicker's job at this point?
Yes. He's getting close to being healthy, and he's got to go beat him out.
Thanks, Coach.
You bet.
Your next question comes from Bill Bender with the Sporting News.
Hey, Coach, obviously, you know, Curtis, I think, averaged 11.9 yards per touch this week. I mean, how nice was it for you to just kind of see that unfold and him get out there and make a bunch of big...
Well, we loved Curtis since he got here, and for a variety of reasons, we maybe didn't utilize all his strengths, and he's never made it through a training camp healthy. So it's kind of the perfect storm for him right now. We need him. He made it out healthy. He's always had an incredible gift of talent. But he was behind Zeke at tailback his first year. Last year we had our three receivers were drafted, and we had some good depth and plus a great tailback. So this is the perfect storm for him right now.
Thank you.
We can take one last question for Coach.
Your final question is from Tim May with the Columbus Dispatch.
Oh, thank you very much. Urban, when you say JT is really playing quarterback, really playing the position now, define for people who aren't in your head what that means to you. What is he getting done that sets him apart?
There's a variety of things. Number one is leadership, which he's always been a strong leader, but it's difficult to be a great leader when you're not the starter. The second thing is, for every offensive play, there's pressure points. Those means that means that there are certain defenses that play's not great at. And so it's up to the quarterback to get us out of that. And a lot of times you'll see teams look over at the sideline and get it from the sideline, and we've done that for several years. But what defenses do nowadays, once you look over the sideline, they change your defense. So as long as the quarterback's controlling and managing it, it's hard for a defense to change what they're doing. So JT, at least 10 times throughout the during the course of the game, made some adjustments to either play or change the play to make sure that we execute it.
Yeah, and what are conversations with him like? Are they on just another level now compared to 2 years ago? I mean, are you talking like graduate level, kind of like talk from a quarterback perspective?
That's exactly what it is, and there's nothing quite like to have a quarterback that has that kind of savvy experience, and he's a very intelligent guy too, very football smart. I love coaching guys like that.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Coach, thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.